We're delighted to announce the return of Eddie Muller, host of TCM's Noir Alley. The Czar of Noir is one of the world's leading authorities on film noir. He's also a licensed bartender. It's true, Eddie is a graduate of Golden Gate Bartending School in his home of San Francisco. Eddie has combined his love of noir with his love of cocktails. The result is the beautiful book, Eddie Muller's Noir Bar, cocktails inspired by the world of film noir. From the Maltese Falcon to Sunset Boulevard, Eddie's got cocktail creation pairings for over 50 noir classics. Plus, Noir Bar is loaded with plenty of fun facts about each movie that even a teetotaler can enjoy it. And that's the way Eddie prefers it. In fact, he told TCM that his approach to discussing film was always more barroom than classroom.
I find that, you know, in my career as a, whatever you want to call it, a cinephile or whatever, I have also adopted the credo, it is better to be accessible than definitive. Because in my education, my cinematic education, I certainly ran into a lot of people who wanted to tell you that they knew exactly what was right and wrong with every movie ever made. And everything was over-intellectualized. And so I felt, you know, I'm going to be the very knowledgeable enthusiast. Because I see my job as getting people to watch and enjoy these movies and perhaps providing a little extra context to enrich the experience. But my goal is not to convince them of how much I know about this stuff or that there's a right or wrong way to look at or enjoy films.
Yeah, and that's what you do. And I think that's a big part, I would say, maybe even the unique selling proposition that you're USP.
There you go.
Potentially, yeah. You have created or paired cocktails for 50 noir films in Noir Bar, but I have to ask, what film makes you crave a cocktail more than any other?
Oh, well, that isn't a noir film. That would be The Thin Man.
Mm.
All of the Thin Man movies, even the Thin Man novel, Hammett's original novel. I mean, reading that book in one sitting, you can sort of get a contact high because Nick Charles drinks so much.
Say, how many drinks have you had?
This will make 6 martinis.
All right. Will you bring me 5 more martinis? Leo, line them right up here.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, that's a thirsty movie. All of them, in fact, all the Thin Man movies.
Yeah. One thing I love about this book is that not only do we learn a drink from your favorite noir film, but we learn some trivia as well. Why did you want to include trivia?
You know, that to me, that's a great bartender. I mean, making the drink is one thing, but being able to tell you a funny story about the drink or where the drink comes from or where they first discovered the drink, that's all, that's equally important. You know, so I felt I also wanted to write a book that if you don't drink, it's still worth having the book and reading the book, even if you're not going to make the cocktails. That was an important part of the approach for me because, you know, I've met some people in going out and doing my film festivals and things who are clearly not drinkers. And I've even, you know, been cautioned a couple of times about my love of cocktail culture. We're concerned for you, Eddie. And it's like, no, you don't need to be. I've got a handle on this. Don't worry. But I just wanted to make sure that everybody could enjoy it. You didn't have to be a big drinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very kind of you to do that. Yeah, and it's a beautiful book. You got like so many, the licensing for so many stills and movie posters. It's a beautiful book.
Well, most of those come from my personal collection.
There you go. Let's get into some films, shall we? We here at Beta love Robert Mitchum. It may be due to the apocryphal quote attributed to him that concerns silk and flatulence, but I digress. Roger Ebert, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Okay, and that's probably as far as we should go with that. Roger Ebert called Mitchum the soul of noir. What is your favorite Mitchum film cocktail combo?
Oh, gosh, there's several of these. I have the Angel Face is an original... it was originally created during Prohibition at the Detroit Athletic Club. And of course, Mitchum in 1953 made a great picture with Gene Simmons called Angel Face. And so I adopt that cocktail as the one for that film. You know, arguably his film Out of the Past is like the ultimate noir experience. And so for that one, I paired it with a Paloma, which is my preference over a margarita for a like a classic Mexican quencher.
Near the plaza was a little cafe called La Mar Azul, next to a movie house. I sat there in the afternoons and drank beer. I used to sit there half asleep with the beer and the darkness. Only that music from the movie next door kept jarring me awake.
And it's very simple, and I don't think Mitchum would drink it, but I think Jay Greer probably would.
Yeah.
It has grapefruit soda, right? And I just don't see Mitchum being a guy who would need grapefruit soda in his tequila.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that. I think you're right about that. I don't think he would need that in his soda, yeah. When we talk about noir, we have to talk about Bogey and Bacall. Your entry for their 1946 Raymond Chandler adaptation of The Big Sleep may surprise some readers. First, the drink you pair with this film is not the brandy drink that is so prominent in the film. And the second subversion is where this film ranks in your all-time noir films list. Have you been hitting the sauce extra hard, Eddie?
Well, I know. I have different opinions about The Big Sleep than some people. Some people think it's like the ultimate noir film, but I just think at heart it's kind of a Howard Hawks comedy, really.
Brandy, Norris. How do you like your brandy, sir?
In a glass.
Yeah. I used to like mine with champagne. Champagne cold as Valley Forge and with about 3 ponies of brandy under it. Oh, come, man. Pour a decent one. I like to see people drink.
I definitely wanted to include it, not just for Bogey and Bacall, but because of Raymond Chandler and how important he is to the genre. Because I like my noir on the page as well as the screen. And so I'm a big fan of the writers like Chandler and Hammett and James M. Cain, all of whom are represented in this book. But The Big Sleep, I chose to pair it with a gimlet, which Chandler fans know is the drink that he sort of immortalized in a later novel, The Long Goodbye, where he mentions it, I think, 23 times or something in the book. So I included it with The Big Sleep, but that was really a nod to Chandler himself, because I was going to use the champagne cocktail that figures in the Big Sleep for another character later in the book. That I left that to Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard. That seemed more fitting that she would have the champagne cocktail.
Yeah, I think you're right. Good move on your part. Our showrunner, Adam Friedrich's favorite noir, is John Huston's The Asphalt Jungle. I think it has to do with the fact that Adam is a gambler who doesn't want anyone trying to bone him, just like Sterling Hayden's Dix Handley.
Don't bone me!
You nicknamed the drink for this film the Left Hand. Can you tell us about the Left Hand?
Sure. Well, the Left Hand is not a creation of my own. And that is a cocktail that I believe a mixologist, Sam Ross, created in the early 2000s. I don't think he had any idea about the Asphalt Jungle when he did it. He just came up with the name the Left Hand. But and it's sort of a derivation of a Manhattan with some interesting alternative ingredients. And I chose that. That was an obvious one for me because The Asphalt Jungle contains one of the great lines in noir when Louis Calhern, who's a like shyster lawyer who's fencing the stolen jewels, his wife claims he hangs out with the lower class of people in his work. And he says, oh, my dear.
Nothing so different about them. After all, crime is only a left-handed form of human endeavor.
And I thought, now that's perfect for it. So we're gonna pair the Left Hand with the Asphalt Jungle. It's a very good cocktail. That's actually what's on the cover of the book.
Ah, yes.
It's a left
beautiful.
Hand.
Plus, I'm left-handed, so it should be the perfect fit for me. I'll have to try that.
Then you'll graduate up to being a two-fisted drinker.
Yeah. Well, let's not get carried away. But yeah, if we'd given enough time, that could probably happen, yeah. Sadly, my favorite noir isn't listed in Noir Bar, so I'm wondering if you can make up a drink for me on the spot. Say I walked into Golden Gate Bartending School in the 70s and told you I loved Double Indemnity. What would you whip up for me? And keep in mind that your teacher, Mac, is probably watching.
Well, I know. I think Stanwyck in that movie, it's bourbon with just a splash of water. I think that's what she orders, but that isn't quite sophisticated enough.
You ought to have some of that pink wine to go with it, kind that bubbles. All I got is bourbon.
Bourbon is fine, Walter.
And I know there's also another great line in Double Indemnity where Barton Keyes, played by Edward G. Robinson, is complaining about the fictional girlfriend that Walter Neff has and says, you know, that Margie, I don't like her. She sounds like she drinks from the bottle. That was pretty great. Yeah. It would definitely, the Double Indemnity would definitely have a bourbon base. And then I'd probably pick something tart to go along with it to represent Phyllis. So, you know, some kind of vermouth that would go with it. And then you're just talking about a Manhattan, and you can't have a Manhattan for a film that is so identifiable as a Southern California movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way the thought process works, you know. So maybe you need something a little citrusy that represents the California setting of the film. Mm. Now we're looking at something a little more like a whiskey sour, because certainly there's a sour taste left from that end of that film. So, yeah, probably I'd make you a whiskey sour of some sort and garnish it with something particularly Californian.
Nice, nice. I wish I could have one of those right now. One of the final films of the noir era was 1959's Odds Against Tomorrow. It was produced and stars civil rights icon Harry Belafonte. What cocktail did you create to honor this film about a black jazz great and a racist white tough who need to pair up for the film's heist?
Well, I created a drink because I love that movie. That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Whiskey?
I don't mind.
Straight or with water?
With water.
I got ice. You want ice?
No, just water.
The whole idea of making cocktails is putting together ingredients that you might be surprised can work in balance. And of course, that entire film is about how these cohorts cannot work in balance, and that their racial issues sink them in the end. So I wanted to make a cocktail that sort of went against that grain. So I created what I call a Johnny and Earl, which are the names of the two characters. And the Johnny is a Jamaican black rum, representing Harry Belafonte's Jamaican roots, and Southern Comfort for the Earl Slater character that Robert Ryan plays. And then it needed a little something extra, allspice dram, to kind of smooth things out. And it turned out pretty good. I've had a few of those since finishing the book.
You put a lot of thought and effort into all these recipes. I can tell just by listening to you. So did it take a lot of time, probably more time than we'd expect, or did stuff come to you just like pop into your brain?
It's truly kind of a outgrowth of the whole pandemic. You know, cocktail hour became very important for people during the pandemic. And so I sort of started doing this as well. I mean, I've always done it my whole life. I've been a bartender. I have a cocktail lounge, a separate cocktail lounge that I built in my old 1912 garage in back of my house. So this is something I do all the time.
Hmm.
But the idea of putting it all together in book form really did grow out of COVID and just the fun of being able to have time to experiment with things. And I got to say, when you do a cocktail book, there's a huge advantage in that you get to write all that booze off your taxes as research. So that was pretty useful as well.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised to discover that you included Louis Buñuel in your book. Why?
Because I read his memoir, and in it, he devotes a lot of time to talking about his preferred way to make a martini. And it's funny that I read Buñuel's autobiography, and that's my main takeaway from the book. Fantastic filmmaker. I love his work.
So what is so special about Buñuel's martini recipe? What's different about it?
It calls for very, very dry ice, right out of the freezer. No, it hasn't set out for any time at all. So in addition to being very cold, it's very sticky in a way. And you put the vermouth in over the ice and just give it a quick swirl around so that the vermouth coats the ice. And then you pour the vermouth out. And then you add your gin and stir it. And, you know, I'm a twist guy, not an olive guy, whichever way you prefer. But it really imparts just the right amount of vermouth in the drink. And I approve of that heartily. So I kind of included that. Although the martini is not for a Buñuel film, it's for the sweet smell of success, or just sweet smell of success, which is, you know, if you've seen that, you know that that's like my idea of heaven is J.J. Hunsaker's booth at 21, where he just, you know, presides there and has platters of oysters delivered with his martinis. And oh, that looks pretty good to me.
Yeah, yeah, me too, yeah. Your Buñuel reference got me thinking that we should seriously consider making a film noir Buñuel mashup. I'm thinking that we could combine the Lawrence Tierney noir, The Devil Thumbs a Ride, with the early Buñuel film, The Daughter of Deceit. Voila, we've got The Devil's Daughter, Thumbs a Ride. What do you think?
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, it's scary, though. You feed that into artificial intelligence, and you'll probably have that movie in a day, you know?
Yeah, I got to try that. I should have tried that. See, I'm not on top of things the way you are, Eddie.
No, all that scares me. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about artificial intelligence.
Yeah, okay. Then it's just as well that I haven't done that yet. And that's probably good cautionary advice from you that I shouldn't do it. Eddie Muller, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Noir Bar. I am looking forward to being a regular at the brick and mortar locations that will soon spring up across the country. And please remember to drink Wisconsinably.
Thank you.
Eddie Muller is the host of TCM's Noir Alley and the author of Eddie Muller's Noir Bar, cocktails inspired by the world of film noir. Find out more about Eddie and his book at wpr.org/beta.
These are songs are like short stories. Flannery O'Connor was one of his big influences.
Coming up, musician and writer Warren Zanes talks about the Bruce Springsteen album that no one ever saw coming. Not even The Boss. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
Oh yeah, I'm drinking again.